curiosity.
What are you so curious about?
Everything.
Mr. Curiosity.
All right, folks, Mr. Curiosity here. Schaefer, do you like when I call myself Mr. Curiosity, or is that like a little hokey?
You know, there's some hokiness to it, but, you know, you do you.
Well, you need a bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. So
start calling myself Mr. Bespectacled.
So the truth of the matter is, my friends tell me this too. I have a lot of curiosity, and that's what got me into science. And there's a lot of things I need to know about people. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about your life. Some things I've never shared with you that I can't hold back anymore.
I better grab a drink.
So we're with Scott Schaefer. Folks, there's going to be, of course, a video recording of this. If you're just listening to the podcast, you can always go to the WNEP YouTube page and you'll see all the videos of this too. But podcast is the main platform that folks are going to listen to. Just think, they're going to hear you while they're jogging, working, walking, driving, and they're going to look for you for inspiring moments and topics of interest. And they're going to go like this when they're driving. Whoa!
Hopefully not with both hands.
Not with both hands. And I want you to know, I have this bell here. When I used to do these recordings in the studio before the pandemic, if a question is too weird or it's uncomfortable, you just do that and it immediately stops. So if you want me to hit the bell, you just say bell.
Bell.
All right, that's it. I'll see you later. It's over. All right. So no, the first thing is I got to tell you this story. All right. So when did you start?
May 24th, 1999.
May 24th, 1999. Now it's putting together in my skull. Here's why I mentioned this. I started part-time in 1993, but I started full-time morning shift January 1999. So I was,
yes,
I was there 3-4 months before you.
Right.
Full-time. And I remember there was talk of this new anchor coming. Now, did you start as an anchor or reporter?
Weekend anchor.
So there was
reporter. Yeah.
There was this talk of this new guy coming. So you know how it is. It's human nature. There's gossip. There's like, oh, who's this guy? What's he going to be?
Yeah.
And I still remember that first day you strutted in and it was a sunny day and you had your glasses on as you walked through the newsroom, like the Carly Simon song. And I'm thinking, and you had a certain swagger and you had your sunglasses on for a good 5-10 minutes inside the building, and a swagger and a look and a stance and in a suit, and everything was almost like pompously correct. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, who is this jerk?
He's not going to last a week, this guy.
You know, when you see a guy and everything is perfect and he's got the glasses on too long, the sunglasses, I'm thinking, what a jerk. And the
You were right. You were right. First impressions are always 100% spot on.
No, you know that's not true. But the funny part about this is, and this is why I'm mentioning this before we get to your life, people still tell me today, hey, I saw Scott somewhere. Or I saw, they don't know you. And they thought, he looks a little pompous or arrogant or something. I'm like, listen.
Yeah.
I'm saying, I tell everyone, I said, no, he's a great guy. He has that sheen to him. And I don't know why. You have that pompous sheen, but it's really not true. How do you explain that? You agree?
You know, yeah, no, I think I absolutely, I mean, I've heard it too. You know, I've certainly, you know, I'm not oblivious to what people think of me. I think, you know, you and I are different in that way, in that you are much more comfortable being the life of the party. And I'm not. Outside of work, I mean, I having come through this business for so many years, you know, I didn't always work at WNEP. I worked at several stations that were not particularly popular, weren't number one. So I never had this thought in my head that, oh, everybody knows who I am. You know, I always thought just the opposite. They don't know who I am.
Okay.
They don't know who I work at some obscure TV station, and I'm not, you know, a few people here and there might know who I am, but I'm not going to walk around like everybody knows who I am. And I think people take that the wrong way. They think I'm just being aloof. And I, I'm quieter in person than I think people expect. And then when I am in a social setting and I'm not saying much, then people think I'm snobby.
Yeah, no, because I get that too. When I used to be at my kids' baseball games and stuff, it's like, look at Snedeker. He's just standing there watching the game. And they'll say, oh, why aren't you like you are on TV? And I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? Tell jokes, juggle? I mean, I'm just here watching the game.
This high pressure system that's moving on in from the Great Lakes.
Yeah. So everybody plays the game. When you're on TV, you become a different person, and you might.
I get it. Yeah, everybody's different at work than they are at home. Everybody is, I think. You
know, yeah, everybody is. So it's a very good point. So maybe that's the source of that reputation with you. Plus, let's face it, I'm a goofy weather guy. When you're the major anchor at a TV station, they already start out with that. Oh, look at him. Who does he think he is? And you have this stoic way where I don't have to, because I'm just a weather guy. Whereas I think a news presenter, you're dealing with murders, you're dealing with accidents. You have to present yourself a little differently.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And you know, you're not just a weather guy, Joe, you are a meteorologist.
And a college instructor. Don't forget.
Oh.
And a man of science, and depth. But I want everyone to say, and I'm not just saying this because I wouldn't have picked you for this a podcast interview, that you're a cool guy. You're a fun guy. You don't take yourself too seriously. You're very witty. And I love you, man.
I love you back, Joe. I just figured you ran out of interesting people to talk to. So I was, you know, you're going alphabetically. It's me. And then it's T next week. And when you get to Z, you're just going to put the whole thing away.
No, we usually do. We do outsiders, insiders. We rotate the crops is what we're doing. What are you having a drink of here?
That is just the generic orange juice.
All right. For those who are only going to listen to this, behind him, he has I don't take you as a grandfather clock guy. What's with that?
Family heirloom. My grandparents raised me. Uh-huh. And I have some of their also. I mean, you want to talk about an old fashioned guy. I mean, I was old fashioned when I was 10 years old. So I have some very nice family pieces still that I've been fortunate enough that have been handed down to me. So, yes, that is literally my grandfather's grandfather clock.
Oh, my God. So that's not a veneer. That's real mahogany maple. What is that?
Yeah, that is. They call it the president. It's from 1948.
Whoa. The president. It's called the president.
Million Rutherford Company. And there's a plaque inside there I can barely read.
You know what? Maybe everyone's right. You are a snob then with your big fancy grandfather clock.
I'm an absolute jerk.
All right. So let's go back. You mentioned your grandparents. Do we want to say, or is this going to be a bell moment? Scott Schaefer, born when, where, what year? Go.
No problem. October 2nd, 1963, which makes me 57 and a half. I was born in Ithaca, New York, I lived for about 3 weeks. My parents split when I was literally a newborn, and my mother moved home to Reading with her parents, and my grandparents raised me literally from infancy in Reading.
So your mom grows up in Reading and she lived there in Reading.
Yes. My father was going to college in Ithaca. I guess you could say they had an unplanned pregnancy.
Was it you?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm an only child.
I didn't know that. Wait a minute. Oh, we're getting deep now. So here's this stud up in Ithaca. Here's this stud up in Ithaca. He sees this woman from Reading. What's she doing up there? Going to college?
No, he was from Reading. He went to college in Ithaca. They knew each other from Reading High.
Oh, they were both Reading people, but he went up to Ithaca.
He went up to Ithaca to go to college. He was a very proficient violin player as a young man, which is a talent he did not hand down to his only child, I'm sad to say. But apparently at that time, Ithaca had a strong musical program, and he went up there for that.
So you are, I'm getting more hints now, the high-end, highbrow, snobby, violin dad, grandfather clock from 1946. I mean, this is all coming together.
Or you could look at it, bastard child, you know, that you could go the complete other way, you know, whichever way you like.
So folks, I'm not playing dumb here for the public. I didn't know this. So do you have a relationship with this guy or no?
My father?
Yeah.
No.
So
I I met him once when I was 21.
Get out of here. Whoa.
And he was a pleasant man. I mean, he was fine. I never had any bad thoughts, bad feelings, animosity towards him at all. I never knew anything different than growing up in my grandparents' house. And my grandparents' house was a wonderful place to be. They were wonderful people. I was, comfortable. I was cared for. I had everything I needed. My father at 20 years old wouldn't have been able to do that for me. So I think him leaving was, in some ways, as strange as it is to say, him leaving was maybe the best thing that ever happened to me in my entire life.
Oh, no, you can definitely argue that, because some people have a child and they force themselves to stay together and they're not even compatible. And then it's a life of misery and it's all for one child. So,
and I can't
argue it both ways.
Yeah, I can't speak for how my parents, how happy or unhappy they were after the whole thing broke up. But I grew up in a happy house as a happy kid, and I just turned into a miserable curmudgeon as I got older.
Did your mom ever try to gloss over him or put him in the background, or did he say your dad was a great guy? Did she build him up, tear him down, or just ignore it?
Are you how much are you ready for this?
Because
you're getting into the deep weeds, and I don't mind talking about it, but this is going to go a direction that you're not foreseeing. So how deep do you want to get into this?
All right, how about we just scoop the surface?
My father was gay.
Oh, whoa.
My father was a 20-year-old homosexual, and I don't think in Reading, Pennsylvania in 1963 he was comfortable being that.
And did your mom know that at the time, or is he in the unknown stage?
Did she suspect? It's hard for me to believe that she didn't have an inkling, but back then you couldn't be a gay man. It wasn't done.
Yeah.
So, I know my mother pursued him and pursued him and pursued him. And finally he said yes. And one night together, guess what happened?
Oh, wow.
So just getting back to your original question, did she try to gloss over? She definitely glossed over that part. I found out about that later. And it was something a little kid doesn't need to know.
Yeah. Wow. So, oh, that's very interesting. All right. Well, then we'll move on. But boom.
Yes. My father has since passed. My mother has passed. My grandparents are passed. So,
I did not know that. Oh, okay. Yeah. So when you're in Reading, you're going like a public school guy, regular guy, everything like that, or what?
Both. I went to public school up through eighth grade in the Reading School District. And then I went to Central Catholic High School, 9 through 12.
So you graduate in 1981 or whatever, right?
Class of 81.
And that's just south of the WNEP border coverage area. Did you even know of WNEP like in high school? Or you never even heard of it? No.
No.
And that's where Lehigh Valley stations. 8, I believe, or what is
Philly,
that?
Philly. Philadelphia station. Yeah. 8 is the Lancaster. NBC affiliate in Lancaster. And we did get Channel 8 in Reading. But for the most part, we were part of the Philadelphia market, although the Philly stations never came to Reading, and unless there was a flood or something.
Yeah, that's bizarre. And just north of Reading, you're already getting into a WNEP land. What's the next
absolutely
town?
Just
what's the next town?
20 minutes north. Yeah, going up to once you cross into Schuylkill County, you get to Deer Lake. Yeah, and then it's us.
Oh, that's excellent. I love it. So you're in high school. Are you like a nerdy guy? Are you in the book club? You're playing football. I can see you playing a little. I can see you. Junk man on the basketball team.
Oh my God. 100%. I was, did you say junk? Cause that's what I was.
You're throwing the three point guy. He's junk.
No. A, we didn't have three pointers back then.
Okay.
B, no, I was the hatchet man on the basketball team. I was the guy who, if you had an open layup, I was going to smash you into the wall at the end of the gym because that's the only talent I possessed.
So big basketball guy. Good. I mean, don't be modest here. Not pretty good. Average, better than average.
Lousy.
But you liked it.
I wanted to do something. I didn't want to just be a kid. I wanted to belong to some team. So yeah, I mean, basketball, I was tall. I just wasn't very good. No coordination.
Okay.
I had my moments, but I wasn't any good.
And I can say this without, again, me seeming like I'm trying to gloss you over now, but you're a smart guy. I get that vibe. Did things come easy for you in high school? You were just an A student. You were killing the grades.
You know, I was an A student until I got to high school, and then I got a little lazy, and, you know, I wanted to be the party guy and the fun guy and the go out with girls guy. And then my grades did not maintain A's through high school.
I've said it once, I'll say it a million times, those damn hormones through puberty ruin everything.
They really do. But what a trip. What a great ride it was.
Up until I was like 11, 12, I was a Cub Scout. I was an altar boy. And then it's almost like one day you wake up and you're like, no, this is not good.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And then you drop everything for the girls.
Yeah. Sad, but true. And that holds true to this day.
If there's any women listening, you think you have a strong hold on us, it's stronger than you realize. Right? I mean,
yeah, true. True. Yeah.
It's like a gravity well that we can't escape. It pulls us in. You're grabbing the side. You're going down the hole. You can't stop.
Yes.
Although one thing.
Never thought of it like that, but yes.
I have a buddy who works in a senior facility, nursing home, if you will. And he said all the guys there who, you know, they're 70s, 80s, 90s, beyond. The women that age and older have their nurturing skills, and they walk around with dolls, a lot of them who, you know, lost their cognitive skills, and the guys are grabbing their rear ends. So it looks like we're going to carry this to our end, Schaefer.
No, that gives us something to look forward to. I want to go to the senior living with you, brother.
All right. So you graduated high school, and you knew it was going to be communication, journalism, broadcasting. You just
communications. Yeah. I was kind of undecided until my senior year in high school. And then, I always thought the family business is medicine. I come from a family of doctors.
I'm clearly the black sheep
of the family.
What do you mean? What was that, on your mom's side?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't really know my dad's side too well. So yeah, my mom's side, my grandfather who raised me, his brother, my uncle, my cousin.
But your biological dad, the violinist, are there doctors over there too?
No.
Uh-uh. No. Okay. So your grandparents, were they?
They were teachers. His side of the family was teachers. Okay, both of my paternal grandparents were both teachers. Yes.
Gotcha. And you're saying your mom's side, there's some physicians there.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody but me.
Yeah. How about your mom? What did she do for a living?
She was a teacher as well.
And your grandparents?
Doctor and a nurse, although my grandmother wasn't practicing it anymore at that point. So my grandfather practiced right up till basically the day he died.
So now this builds the story. So when you come back and live with your grandparents and your mom, this is not some barely making it through living with your grandpa. This is a big doctor. This is a highbrow structure. This is a guy with some cash and prestige.
Yeah, and he definitely was. He was my grandfather was a child of the Depression. So he was not he was not someone who threw his money around, who liked to make heirs. He was very careful with the buck. Gotcha. You know, I turned 16. I didn't get a car. I didn't even get a chance to use his car. You know, I was still riding the bus.
That's why you're a good guy then. I love it. You're like you said, surrounded by love and resources, but yet not like a spoiled little grandkid.
I don't think, you know, everybody says, only child, you were spoiled. Yeah, you know, I wasn't really an only child. It was kind of like the fourth child of my grandparents. And 14 years younger than their youngest, my youngest uncle.
Oh,
but yes. That I kind of was raised like that. I mean, I wore hand-me-down clothes, but I did. I wore my uncle's clothes. I wore my grandfather's ties to high school. You know, I didn't have, I mean, these kids I see today are dressed to the nines. I was wearing, you know, sweat socks and moccasins.
I hear you, man. That's why, you know, they call the World War II guys the greatest generation ever. And I agree. But we're not that far behind because, you know, even if you had money in the 70s and 80s, it seemed like no one had all this luxury. It's always like you wear hand-me-downs and you had to work for your car and you get a job at Burger King. It was like it was a hard life. Even if your family was OK, it was still you learned hard work ethics and you're grounded. Where did that go? Right.
Well, I'm not as pessimistic. I think it still exists. You know, the world's different now, obviously. You know, I mean, when we were kids, I just, you know, and I lived in the inner city in a row home in downtown Reading, you know, with parking meters in front of my house. I mean, I was on a busy street in a busy downtown, and I would just leave the house and go. You know, I didn't say, hey, I'm going to, you know, Chris's house right now. No, I just left, came back for dinner.
And I think our generation, you and me and our kid, I think we ruined our kids by not doing that. My parents too, great loving family, but it was like free range parenting back there. Like, oh, go.
Yeah.
Go,
yeah,
have fun.
Could we do that now? I don't know. I mean, we're both parents. My son is younger than yours, but I mean, can you just let the kid run around now?
No.
I don't think you can.
But we're structured into this thing now, and they're growing up bubble wrapped. Snowflakes, right? And it's not good. Maybe it's an experiment. Who knows?
Well, you know, I always say, you know, when I was young, the older generation was like, oh, the younger generation.
So we're falling.
You know, so I'm trying not to. The younger generation is different. They're being raised differently, but I'm still bullish that there'll be a fine generation as adults.
I like your attitude with that. I have this question for you. Speaking of that, I've always wondered, when I was in college, I went to Millersville, just south of Reading.
Yeah.
I called my parents on a Friday and said, hey, could you come down and pick me up and bring me home? I want to come home this weekend. It wasn't even an option. Why wasn't that an option? Did your grandparents ever, or your mom?
Let me tell you, I went to LaSalle in North Philly. I would have, I mean, my grandfather, I think he took me to college once, and he never came back. He never came back again. If I wanted to come home, I took the subway down to Center City, Philly, got on a bus, took the bus back to Reading, and then walked home from the bus terminal.
That's what I'm talking about. Same with me. Why wouldn't that generation bring us back and forth? What did they think? Why didn't they do that? It wasn't even an option. Like, you never think about
it. He was
your
too
parents.
Busy watching Lawrence Welk. I mean, gee whiz.
And now my wife is like, oh, yeah, we'll go visit our daughter in college, and we'll bring her pots and pans, and we'll take her out to dinner, and we'll bring her home. Like, that wasn't even an option back then.
No, I think they were, yeah. Here's your my grandfather did buy the bus ticket.
Okay.
He did buy me the bus ticket. So give the man credit where credit's due.
So when you were at LaSalle, were you playing basketball there, or just doing?
That was way above my talent level. No, LaSalle's a Division I program, and those guys can play. Yeah, no, I didn't. I was just a generic, you know, frat boy, party guy, bum.
Is that right? The ladies loved you, though.
Some misguided ones here and there, but nothing too much.
So you bust out of LaSalle, and now you're thinking, what? I got to get a job. What's the first move there?
I graduated college in 1985 as a communications major, which was kind of just before the big explosion of like cable TV. You know, you still only got your basically four or five channels on your TV, and wasn't all this going on. So I went to grad school for a semester.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, it was not a noteworthy experience. I didn't last long. You know, I was definitely done being a student by then. So I was, it's a funny story. I was sitting around. It was about like November of this fall semester of grad school. And I realized I was not long for this grad school world. And I'm thinking, well, I'll go back to Reading, get a job. And I called a high school teacher of mine who was a priest from Central Catholic who had moved on and become the spokesman for the Allentown diocese, for the bishop at that time, Thomas Welsh in Allentown. Father Sosnowski was his name. He's from Mahanoy City. And just thinking about him, that phone call changed my life. And I just called him out of the blue. He kept in touch with me all through college. He always took a liking to me.
But you were in need of guidance? Is that what you did?
Well, you know what? It was at the point where I was like, you know, I need to start calling people and saying, I need a job.
You need to see your Yoda.
Who can I call?
You need to see your Yoda.
Yes. So I called, of the people I called, one of them was Father Sosnowski. And I said, you know, listen, I'm, gonna leave school. I'm coming back to Reading. I'm gonna try to get in the executive training program at Boscov's, which is, you know, if you're in Reading, Boscov's is the number one employer in Berks County. And he, you know, he was very supportive and whatnot. And we hung up the phone, and he called me back the next day and said, you know, there's this little cable station in Allentown that we work with, the Bishop works with. He does a show there once a week, and they have a newscast, and they need a reporter. And if you're interested, I can get you an interview next Monday.
No.
He took me to the interview at the station, Service Electric Cable in Allentown, and they hired me basically on the spot with no experience whatsoever because I walked in with this priest.
And here's an example of one human being making a difference that propagates down through time in your life. If that hadn't happened, you might be a defunct manager of Boscov's.
Yeah, I'd be a buyer, you know, buying automotive parts or something. I don't know. Yeah, but a teacher, Joe, a teacher changed my life.
That's excellent. But when you, what I'm missing here, when you graduated from LaSalle, you weren't one of those aggressive, now I'm going to go find a job. You thought you'd delay it and go to grad school. Why didn't you just say, I'm going to go get a job? There weren't
jobs to be had. There weren't, oh. There were so few television jobs back then.
Oh, I see.
This station in Allentown was a fluke. It was a little cable station. They kind of had a vanity project going. It was a local newscast that they made no money off, but you know, they were a cable company and had a lot of money, so they could kind of put it on as a bonus for their subscribers. So that, yeah, but that's where I got my start.
Did that get your eyes on the prize? Did you feel the saliva flowing? I mean, was that the beginning? Were you thinking, this is it now?
It was what I was meant to do.
Get out of here.
I knew it from the get-go, yes.
And how long were you there?
I was there about 7 years, actually.
No, you were not. 7 years.
Yeah, most of my 20s.
Making a living.
Yeah, making actually a good living. And Allentown was a fun place to be as a young man in the 20s, you know, a young single guy. I mean, Allentown was kind of happening back then. It still is happening. I don't want to, you know, say that it's died off. Cool. So it was a fun. I have friends down there who are some of my dearest friends to this day.
And you're single? You have an apartment at the time? That's what you're doing?
Yes. Yes and yes. Yeah.
Yes and yes. Women coming in and out.
You give me much more credit than I deserve.
I don't even know why I keep dwelling on that. But anyway, so when did that start to peter away thinking now I need a new journey or no?
When they fired me.
Now, why a fire? Is this going to be a good story?
They fired me. You know, I was sitting at my desk. They said, you need to come upstairs. I came upstairs and walked out, you know, got escorted out of the building.
But whoa, wait. But if you're doing a good job, you're passionate, you're loving it. Did you know this was coming to an end? Or were they just trimming the staff? Or did you do something wrong? Or you weren't performing? What was it?
It was a family-owned company and station. And I think some of the people in the family maybe thought I was getting too big for my britches. I'm not saying they were exactly wrong.
We're getting back to the pompous thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it comes back to that every time. But, you know, it was funny. And I remember telling a friend of mine who was in television then, I said, you know, I just got fired. And I was on the phone with him. And he's like, that's the best thing that could have happened to you. And I can't imagine how that can be. And he says, no, you needed to get out of there. He was absolutely right.
Get out of here.
So yeah, I had another job within about 3 months at the ABC station in Harrisburg.
So, but when the firing happened, did you feel a sense of distaste from them or no? It was total surprise.
Oh, definitely. Yeah,
oh,
sure.
You did.
Somebody fires you. You're not like, you know, thanks. You know, I mean.
No, yeah. But did you sense it was coming is what I'm saying?
No.
Oh, you did not?
No.
Wow. So now you go to Harrisburg and how's that?
Well, I was a weatherman.
What?
A morning weatherman. So watch your back, brother.
This is my pet peeve. Here's my pet peeve with that. If someone goes to see a doctor because they have a busted knee, but you never see the doctor, you see a spokesperson who is a good presenter and speaker of information.
Right.
Wouldn't you want to see the doctor? Wouldn't you be like, I want to talk to the doctor. I want him to explain to me what's wrong with my knee. I don't want a spokesperson. So anyone out there who does weather without a science background, I have a problem with, because weather needs to be explained. It's a science. You can't just have some guy with a communications degree, no offense, give the weather. I have a problem with that.
Now, that's probably why I got fired there too.
So did you like it or what?
I'm a news guy. I needed a job. They had a job. They wanted somebody who could do weather and still go out and report news. So I was a perfect candidate. My first job at Service Electric, I did have to fill in doing weather. I hosted polka shows. I hosted a program called Understanding Your Church. I had a wide variety of experience coming out of Allentown, and I could do it, but I was miscast in that role. I really was. And I did that for about 3 years and it was out the door.
Could you tell me what cold air advection is or no?
Nope.
No. And you really don't know the science behind something like a cyclone or a cold front or really?
Well, I mean, I know a cyclone is.
No, but I mean, what it is.
Essentially, a low pressure. Cyclonic's a low pressure system, rotates counterclockwise.
Okay, so you got some of the basics. What's average pressure on planet Earth? You know, average air pressure?
No, I have no idea. I understand. It's been 20 some years since I've done this, Joe. So.
You're a weather fraud.
I'm an everything fraud, brother.
No, you're not. So you get fired from that, and then what?
Yeah. Followed a girlfriend. She had gotten a job in Detroit at a TV station. I went got a job in Flint, Michigan, which was just about 45 minutes up the road from Detroit.
So it's that gravitational well that we spoke of. A woman drove you west.
Bingo. Yeah, got there within 3 weeks. She broke up with me. So I was in Flint by myself. But Flint was a great experience. It really was.
This is the best podcast ever.
Thank you. This is should me every week. There's the SNS boys.
Yes, this is a lot. There's a lot here to unpack. Yeah. How are we going to get to the brown bag? You have so much going on. I love it.
Nah, the hell with the brown bag.
So she dumps you and you're in. What are you doing out there?
I was a morning news anchor and reporter. And, it was. Flint's a great news market. I mean, there is stuff going on up there. There was no shortage of news stories. I mean, General Motors was in Flint. They had huge national strikes while I was there. Kevorkian was from just outside of Flint. His trial was going on while I was there.
And you love this stuff. This is
I really am. Yeah, I was doing national live shots on some of these big stories. It was a wonderful experience. It really was.
And this is your first time basically far from Reading too, right?
Yeah. 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 Far from home. Yeah.
And did you settle in? Did you dig in or did you miss home or?
I missed home. Yeah. I never really settled in Flint. And when my contract was up, the general manager took me out to lunch. He wanted to keep me. He was going to promote me to 5 o'clock anchor. And I turned him down. I said, I appreciate it. I really love this station. I appreciate everything you've done for me, but I just don't fit in here.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very outdoorsy type area. And I'm a city boy who grew up in a row home,
Is that right? Wow.
And I was homesick. So I left the job with nothing.
This is 91.
This is 99. March 12th was my last day in Flint. I came home. I owned a house in Allentown. And throughout all of this, I had bought a house in Allentown. And even after I left, I still owned it because I had friends who rented it from me.
Oh, okay.
One after another. So if my friend William was living in my house. And I said, but I got to come home and move into the house with you for a little bit here till I get a job and get settled. And we're great friends. So that was not a problem. And I was home for about 3 days. It was a Friday, and I was sitting there in Allentown, and I thought, I have to do something today to at least try to get a job.
Yeah.
This can't go on. I've been off since March 12th. This is probably early May at this point. And I drove to Scranton on a whim with my resume.
But wait, stop. So why would you pick of all stations? Why didn't you go Philly? Why didn't you go west towards State College? Well, what makes you say I'm going to Scranton? Why that?
Well,
And did you hear of WNEP?
I knew of WNEP now. Now
okay, so, no, but then.
Yeah.
Okay,
sure, of course. Yeah, so WNEP is a.
You know,
I knew of all the stations in Scranton. You know, I've been in the business for, you know, 10 some years.
Oh, I see. So you knew WNEP had the reputation of being a powerhouse and you thought, I'm going to give it a try.
Absolutely.
Whoa. Yeah. So you show up randomly.
Walked in the front door.
No, you didn't.
For some reason, I'll mention her name and I apologize. Denise Slack, who we both used to work with. She was not the receptionist, but she was on the receptionist desk the moment I walked in.
Filling in.
So she probably didn't know the protocol for this. So I walk in and say, hi, I'm Scott Schaefer. I used to work at the ABC station in Flint, Michigan. And I was wondering if I could speak to the news director, Paul Stuber. Now,
no,
having been in the business, this is a game you play. Can I talk to the news director? Why don't you just leave a message with me, you know, kind of thing. Right. Can I go in and meet the news director? Why don't you just leave your resume here at the desk and we'll be in touch with you. That's the game that's played. So
question is, do you have an appointment? And
right.
You
something
say
like
no,
that,
then,
which I did not.
Yeah. And then they say, see you later. Goodbye.
And I knew I was not going to walk in and just see the news director. That just doesn't happen. So I walk in, I say, Scott Schaefer from Flint. Can I see the news director? So Denise picks up the phone, calls the news director, Paul Stuber, and says, there's Scott Schaefer here in the lobby to see you. He says he's from Flint, Michigan. Well, Stuber, the news director, had connections. He had worked in Detroit and knew people in Flint. So he comes out to the lobby and I'm standing there, my eyes are this big. I didn't even shave.
No.
I didn't think I was going to see anybody important. I honestly had not even shaved. He comes out and we talked for about 10 minutes. And he called me the very next day and invited me up for an interview. And I met the general manager and they hired me on the spot. So I was out of work from March 12th to May 24th. That's how I got it.
This is a lesson for people out there. Just throw some darts in the dark. Just, why not?
You got to try. You never know. I called a priest one day. I've had a TV career for 30 years. I walked in the front door of NEP one day. I've been here for 22 years.
So did we lose someone at the time? Is that why you originally came up to fill a void?
I had no idea if there was a void. I just needed a job. No, and what I learned subsequently was they had an opening for a weekend anchor. They posted it. They had some internal candidates who tried out for it. And they decided they weren't going to hire anyone. And they pulled the job posting down and never filled it. And then I walked in and they gave it to me.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, which would cause some hard feelings with a few of our coworkers at that time who wanted that job. And so who the hell is this guy, you know?
And then within a week or so, I see you coming in the day with your glasses on, leaving them on too long in the newsroom, and they're on.
Right, yeah. I remember the post on the wall. You know, the post always says, yo, we're going to welcome this new employee. He or she starts in 3 weeks. Mine said, he starts tomorrow.
Wow, is that cool?
Yeah, well, that was a blessings that I don't know that I deserve, but I've been just fortunate, amazing.
We'll talk about then how one person can make a difference. The reason you're there and I'm here and we're talking to each other now is because of Paul Stuber, because I was a science teacher working part-time at WNEP, and he's the one that broke my arm, twisted it to come full-time. Same time he was hiring you.
Yeah.
99.
Yeah.
There's one guy who made us do this. Well, not made us, but you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he changed my life. Yeah, no doubt.
Wow. So that first week, 2 months, 3 months, year, whatever you're at WNEP, did you say immediately, I love this place, or what did you feel?
It's an easy place to like. I mean, it's a heck of a professional operation. And I mean, the success speaks for itself. I mean, it's a good place to be. I mean, having worked here, could you go work for a number three cellar dweller somewhere again? I don't know. That'd be a different pill to swallow.
Well, that's where I like to ask people like you, because remember, I have no broadcasting TV background at all, nor was it in my desires. I'm a science guy. So this is my only place of employment in the broadcast realm. So you're saying it's different from a lot of other places? Because you've been
night and day. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, I know that's the old saying in television when you switch stations. Same circus, different clowns. The clowns here are this is a heck of an operation. I mean, there's just
but why? What?
Well, you know, I can only speak from the news side. I mean, what you guys do in the weather department is you know foreign to me. But I mean, just the checks and balances, the the expertise from people who know this market inside out and know what plays and what's important and things like that. You know, the focus on covering the entire market. I've been at stations that were in big market, not big markets, but in sizable geographical markets
right.
that only covered one little region. You know, in Flint, we covered Flint. Saginaw had its own station. In Harrisburg, we covered Harrisburg, and the Lancaster station covered Lancaster. You know, NEP covers everywhere, you know, and does a pretty good job of it. And it's wonderful. It's a great operation. It is.
I love it. That's great to hear. From a guy who doesn't know broadcasting, it's great to hear.
And clearly,
you come off then, yeah. So from the beginning, when I first started interacting with you, do you have any early memories that maybe I don't, you and me? I don't, I don't know, like aside from that sunglass incident, what?
First time I went to the St. Patrick's Parade, I only had one piece of green clothing and it was a WNEP poncho. And I saw you and you're like, you can't wear that out in public. What are you doing with that? Yeah, you dressed me down. In front of a girl, I might add.
And we've been buddies since.
Yeah, you know, you're hard not to love, Joe.
So here we are today. You go through some ripples along your journey at WNEP, whether mm-hmm. it's, I mean, you've had some promotions. Now you're our big shot evening anchor. And you are the perfect anchor to me because you're passionate about news. You're passionate about politics. You're level-headed, you're good-looking, you got the square jaw, you look like Superman. I mean, so to me, you're the perfect WNEP anchor, and you don't take yourself that seriously, too. So I love you, man.
Thanks, man.
Is that how
you get me on the morning shift with you, man. We would kick butt. I mean, Williams is nice and all, but let's be honest.
Yeah, we only work together a couple times. Well, not more than a couple, but it's so far in between.
Yeah, sometimes they put us together at noon sometimes, and that's always fun.
Oh, yeah. I love you, man. You're a funny guy, a good guy, a clever guy, and you got it all. Mr. Newscast right there. And everybody loves you that I talk to, except for those who say you're pompous.
No, they're not wrong.
All right, so let's do some of this. You want to do some brown bag?
Bring it on.
All right. So these are questions submitted by the people. And I don't really preview these things. I look That's at them. I printed them out, but I don't like read them. This one gentleman sent a bunch. Oh, no. This is a printout of my phone screen where people were messaging me. So, all right. Oh, this goes with it. Are you ready?
Bring it on.
Cindy says, do you consider yourself snarky? Snarky.
Yeah, you know, I'd be lying. There are certainly some times when I am snarky. Yes, clearly. Yeah, I try not to. I need to be better about not being snarky. But it's
all right. Idea. So there you go, Sydney. He is a little snarky, and he admits it. Do you know a Mike Yoroski?
Yeah, I love Mike from Pottsville.
Oh, is that right? He just says, "Tell Scotty I said hello." He loves you.
Yeah, I love him back. We've had some. Had some fun dinners in Schuylkill County. I love, you know, it's close to home for me. I really enjoy a night in Pottsville probably more than anyone.
Well, because you're snarky and pompous.
Bingo. That's what it is. That's where all the snarky, pompous people go.
Anthony Alio says, do you miss judging the Super Santa contest? I didn't know you did that.
Yeah, I did it every year. And it was just this past Saturday and I had to miss it because my son had a basketball tournament in New York. So I was down there, and I'm sorry. It's a fun event. Benefits the hose company up there in Childs. And, you know, people can make some serious super sot. I'm impressed.
Yeah, these are my people in the area. It's an up valley thing. There are some people never even heard of super sot. And it's this dried, it's almost like pepperoni, only better. Is that how you describe it?
Yes. Yeah. And some of it is really, really good. They make their own. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah, they hang it from select sheds and dry it out. But the problem with it is high sodium, high fat. So these are two things that you're supposed to stay away from, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. I remember somebody complained that why would they let me judge a super side contest when I'm a Dutchman? And I guess they have a point.
No.
I should be judging a Scrapple contest.
All you need is taste buds and you can be a super side contest guy. All right, Steven says, Stone, I think you need to get to the bottom of him matching ties with Lisa's outfits. Have you ever seen the movie Heartbreak Ridge? So what is he getting at here? Because I don't watch your evening news. Do you still match ties with Lisa or no? Or is that like
yes.
you and Charlotte did that, didn't you?
Something? Yeah, we started it and then we gave Lisa a little time to get acclimated before we started, barking orders at her. No, she's such a great sport. She's into it too. I guess as somebody did it at a, I think one of the New York stations, and somebody told me about it. And Charlotte and I, like two nights in a row or something, inadvertently matched. And we said, you know what? Let's give it a whirl for a while. And now it's a talking point. I mean,
it's a little TV cheesy.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that. I mean, yeah, the next thing you know, I'll be out in the backyard wearing shorts.
So see, I'm getting him defensive. I love it. Speaking of TV cheese,
yeah,
what I am a big fan of, because I'm not a news guy, I have no interest in news or politics or anything. I'm a science guy, but I love your talkback segment and how you're so witty and clever. And I will tune in just to see that. So,
staying up late on a Thursday night to watch it?
I'll watch the replay. I'll watch it elsewhere. But I really love that. That's my.
Oh, thank you.
I bet you that's a labor of love for you because it's a lot of extra work, but you love it.
Yeah. I mean, there are sometimes there's a week here or there where I'm like, why did I bring this, burden onto my shoulders? I need more work. Like I need a hole in the head. But when it comes out good, that's such a great feeling.
And do you think you make enemies with that? Because like me, you say a lot of things maybe that get you in trouble because some people take it the wrong way. I don't know. Cause it's a little rough on some people. Maybe it's sarcastic. Do you feel like, do people ever go to you like, how dare you say that? Why?
I think by virtue of what we do for a living, there's always going to be people who aren't going to like us.
Yeah,
Not going to like something we said. So you just got to kind of let that roll off your back.
Yeah. But some people have the vanilla cheesy, I'm so nice to everybody. Fakey crap. You don't do that. That's what I like about you. You don't do that.
No. I'm too arrogant and pompous to even hear something like that.
And snarky. Look at this. I like Scott. You mean the same guy who hates 90% of all taste tests? That from Robert Bonner. I like that, how you do that too, because any taste test seems to involve something that's been added to something that didn't need to be added. It's almost like when they had things added to classic cartoons. Who did they add to Fred Flintstone? It was Babu or Boo Boo.
Oh, I just see that kid Oliver on the Brady Bunch.
Same thing, Oliver.
Yeah,
but right. when you start adding things, they need to be criticized. So when they make all these foods, like, do we really need strawberry flavored meat or potato chips or something? No. So I'm glad you do that. But do you generally dislike a lot of those things?
I do. I don't have a very adventurous palate to begin with. I eat bland foods. So, I mean, you give me this crazy stuff. I mean, excuse me, if it's a local food, I won't be so quick to discount it because, obviously I don't want to hurt someone's local business, but mostly if it's, some kind of, last week we had s'mores Oreos,
Yeah. I mean, do we need that now?
Regular Oreos were always fine with me. So
that's funny.
And I'm a boring guy.
I've been called bland and boring with my appetite also. Like I can have noodles and butter the rest of my life and I'd be happy.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't go that far, but yeah. I mean, I eat grilled chicken, broccoli, and brown rice every night at work. Every night at the same time.
Food is not a big deal for me either. As a matter of fact, I eat just because I want to get it over with so I can go do other things. That's how food is for me. You know what I want, Shape? Do you like this idea? When I sleep at night, I want an IV of nutrients going in me. So then I don't even have to eat at all the rest of my life. because it slows me down. Do you like that idea of an IV of nutrients? No more eating.
Can you have a glass of wine with that IV? I mean,
that's up to you. All right. Robert Priest says, my big friend, my friend Big Jim wants to know if either of you ever accidentally cursed on the air. I've come close.
I dropped a what the hell once.
Yeah, I've done a couple hells too, but I don't think anything above that. Maybe the S word.
No. I dropped the Weimar, and that was in the 90s, and I was mortified. I thought, I'm fired. I'll be escorted out of here by noon. And, you know, this before social media, but nobody called to complain. You know, I went to the news director with my tail between my legs and told him what I said.
What the hell?
Yeah, I said, what the hell?
And that's almost okay now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was okay then.
How times have changed.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's funny. I can speak for you. When you're on air, your brain gets into a whole specific focus mode, and all curses and things you shouldn't do and say get pushed in the background.
Yes.
And every once in a while, a couple bleed through for me. Uh-oh. This may be a bell moment. Here we go.
Okay. Keep it handy.
Corey says, do you do some type of dance video? Is he referring to this? Here's why. Does being a good dancer make you a better lover?
I was in a Dancing with the Stars type contest. We're going back, you know, like 15 years now. Okay. At the Woodlands. And I won. Hey. So I would have to say yes. Yes. The answer is yes. No doubt.
What? Being a better dancer is going to make you a better lover.
Well, you know, Joe, I know I've burst your bubble here today, but yeah,
you know what?
Rebound.
I hate dancing. You know how they
say. Surprises me because I could see you.
No. You know how they say dance like no one's watching?
Right.
When no one's watching, I'm still not dancing. That's the truth. All right. Would you rather be forced to drink an entire container of ketchup or ranch dressing?
Ketchup.
Yeah. Ranch is gross.
It's not my fave.
Yeah. I'm a ketchup guy too. As a matter of fact, I consider it a vegetable.
Put it on everything. Yeah.
Oh, this is another taste test question. Carol says, what do you eat? You never ever seem to like Carrie's taste test, but I look forward to your reaction every time. So you agree with that, right?
Yeah. What do I eat? I eat bland foods. A lot of the same
chicken and rice.
Chicken, rice, broccoli. Boom, boom, boom.
You know how I justify having a poor diet? Now, my diet is, I wouldn't say it's poor, but it's a lot of carbs because I'm a high energy guy and I need to carb all the time. I have like pasta and breads and sandwiches, pierogies. Mm-hmm. But I drink 2 48 ounce bottles of V8 low sodium every week.
So I really?
Yeah. I'm getting like 50 servings of vegetables a week through V8.
Not a bad idea.
That's why my skin has this wonderful glow.
Is that what it is?
Or is it the pimples it's making? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's a good look.
Are either of you Apple or Droid users, and how current is your phone? Kurt from Montoursville. What kind of phone do you have?
I have a Google Pixel.
Whoa, that's rare. I don't think there's many Google Pixels. And are you a big phone guy?
No, I mean, obviously it's a necessity, but no, my last two phones I lost in the exact same way, put it on top of the car and drove off.
No, you did that twice. And then do you realize and go back and see it or no? Or you just,
well, you realize and you go back and try to find it, but yeah, no.
Get out of here.
So, I had an Apple and then I couldn't get another Apple because I didn't know my password or something. So I went to the other one, Samsung, and I didn't really like that phone that much. And then I left that on top of the car too. So this one's okay. It's fine.
I find myself, oh, there's my dog barking. I find myself a little, Jet, easy, buddy. I find myself a little bit addicted to my phone because it's music, it's connection with family members, it's Facebook, which we do, it's science articles, it's weather data, it's everything. I have no problem saying I love being on my phone, but I'm not one of those glued to it. It's everything tied into one thing. I love it.
It is.
All right. In your opinion of Chihuahuas, are they sausage-sized packets of demonic energy or sweet little doggies? What do you think? Are they sausage-sized packets of demonic energy or are they sweet little doggies, Chihuahuas? Do you have a
is there a correct answer to this? I've never had a Chihuahua, so I have no idea. I love the sausage-sized demonic thing, though. That's creative. I'll go with that.
But so, well, I think the deeper question is, are you a little doggy guy? Are you going to put a little bow in your dog and put it in a basket and walk at the park? Are you that guy?
I've never had a dog.
Never had a dog?
No. Had a cat. So when I was in Flint, I had two cats. I loved them. But now I have a kid. He keeps me busy.
Now, do you feel you don't have a dog because you're not loving in any way? Hey, I'm over here. My mother-in-law's here. I'm doing some stuff here, though.
Tell her I said hi.
Scott Schaefer says hi.
Hi, Scott.
She's like, who?
No. Do you think Scott Schaefer, our evening anchor, does he come off as a little pompous?
I love him. I love the way he
Did you hear that?
No.
She loves you.
Oh, she's the best.
Great.
You're great and she loves you. There you go. All right.
Love her back. All
right, last one that I'm going to let you go. Here's is it. If you were ever trapped in a combat with some fantasy monster, what would your weapon of choice be? Assuming it would be equally offensive. Are you a sword guy, a spear guy, an axe guy, a dagger guy, or a bow and arrow guy? So you're trapped in combat with some fantasy monster and you have to have a weapon of choice. Sword, spear, axe, dagger, bow and arrow.
Spear.
Why? Just so you're going to be like this. You're going to be.
Right. Yeah. You can keep distance from the monster. Bow and arrow. I'd be afraid. I wouldn't know how to do. So spear, chuck it. Boom.
That might be, this dead. Must be from like a psychologist or something, because I immediately went for the axe. I'd like to be right there going, watching it get slashed and die right in front of me. Take that monster.
I think this podcast just slashed and died right in front of you.
All right. We're in about an hour though. So it's about over. We usually do an hour. I thank you for your time. Is there anything I left out that you want to work in?
No. Tell Williams, I miss you guys in the morning. I think people don't understand that we never see each other. I mean, it is rare that you and I run into each other at work.
I know. So, yeah, there's those special days, and it's like I see Santa Claus when you come in. I'm all excited. Yeah.
So give my love to Williams and Mindy and everybody on the morning crew. I miss them.
I will. And thanks for doing this podcast. I found it extremely interesting. And so do a lot of people watching and listening. I know it.
Darn, that's the firehouse siren going off now. I don't know if you hear that, but
that must be time to end. Mr. Curiosity is saying goodbye, my friend.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Curiosity. What are you so curious about? Everything. Mr. Curiosity.